Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. There is a lot of doubt about the FAA after its conduct with regard to Boca Chica and the launch, the successful launches of Starship and Super Heavy. A lot of doubt, but I am uninformed. I just know it is three letters, FAA. Bob Zimmerman is here to help us understand the FAA and also the criticism by two members of Congress. Bob, a very good evening to you. The FAA caused trouble, and is there a way to correct it without asking it to leave the room? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Hey, leaving the room would be a good idea in my mind. First of all, I want to thank you, all listeners, for their generous support during my three-week fundraising campaign that just ended. I really appreciate their support. They don't have to pay anything to listen to me on you or read my webpage, and yet they came through. So I thank them for that. So, yes, the FAA has been a problem because it's the regulatory framework that it put in place in 21, supposedly to streamline the launch licensing process, has done the exact opposite. And literally, in the last 3 years, it has almost destroyed the emerging American new rocket industry. It was going full go guns before those regulations were put in place, and it's basically been squelched since then. The older companies that were successful can survive, but the newer companies have been pushed out of business to a great extent. So two congressmen last week sent a letter to the FAA demanding that they fix some of those regulatory problems. They point out the FAA is very proud of the fact that 98% of the license applications that are sent to it are approved within the required 180-day timeline. First of all, that's horrible as far as I'm concerned. You want to launch, it's going to take you 6 months to get an approval after you submit your application. That, for a new company, that's murderous. That'll destroy them. So that's not, they might be proud of that, the FAA, but that's terrible. But on top of that, it appears that this time frame doesn't include what sometimes are months and oftentimes years of delays in the pre-application review process that these new streamlined regulations created. In other words, you're supposed to submit your application for a review before it's actually submitted. And then the FAA goes through consultations and meetings and discussions with you for any time up to years before it will allow you to actually submit your application. And then it takes 6 months to approve it. This is horrible, and they're saying this should be fixed, and it should be fixed now. Will the FAA do that? Well, we don't know. The FAA did announce in November, 1 week after Trump became elected, that it was forming a new committee of industry people and academics to review this new regulatory licensing process and come up with new recommendations by the mid-25. The congressmen are happy about that, but they say it takes too long. They want some action from FAA right now to streamline things. I don't have any idea if the FAA will actually do this, but I do know that in less than a month, a new administration is coming in, which will not look kindly on this regulatory framework that was created during the Biden administration. So things, I think, are going to change whether the FAA wants to or not.
Bob, my puzzlement here. You made the point, the salient point during that trouble with SpaceX and the FAA, that the FAA doesn't have anyone qualified to assess something as novel as Super Heavy or the launch pad at Boca Chica, that they depended upon SpaceX, and then they took their time with information they did not have the credibility to gather. Is it, that's still the case? Yes, they're investigating.
Yeah, you know, one of the things is the FAA's real statutory authority has to do with airlines. And so launches are supposed to be approved by the FAA in the context of making sure the launch doesn't conflict with any other plane activities or other activities relating to airplane, and to make sure that nothing crashes on people. But if you're launching on a coastal site, then that issue goes away. They're not going to hit drop anything on anyone. So the only issue the FAA has is really to coordinate with the airlines to make sure no conflicts with the launch and the airlines. That shouldn't take more than a day or two. So what the FAA here is called mission creep. They have been starting to take on responsibilities they don't have the right to, and as you noted, that I've noted, they don't have the qualifications to do it. They shouldn't be reviewing what a rocket company wants to do on a launch, because they don't know. They should be out of the business of this completely. It should stop right now, period.
Did I say correctly that they don't have personnel who can assess it?
They don't. Yes, absolutely right. They don't have the personnel. They're not designed. A new rocket company is building a rocket. There's no one in the FAA is going to know how that rocket operates and can be qualified to make a decision. Even with an old rocket, they're delaying things. They still have no qualifications to make any kind of decision like this. All they're supposed to do is make sure the airspace is clear for the launch itself and that the rocket doesn't crash on anybody else.
Do I remember correctly that it is not limited to the troubles in the U.S., that you reported that this caused the shutdown of Blue Galactic, I think?
No, Virgin Galactic has nothing to do with the FAA. Virgin Galactic's failure in the UK was because of the UK's Civil Aviation Authority, which is the equivalent of the FAA.
That's what I meant.
The same kind of thing, but it wasn't the FAA, it was the CAA.
That's what I meant, that this problem is true in other bureaucracies where regulators have overstepped their bounds.
That's correct.
And it will continue to be in all the countries putting spaceports together until something is done. And it hasn't been yet. So I mention this because we have Doge, right? We have Musk and Ramaswamy. And they have self-interest here to attend to the FAA. All right, we're going to another government agency you've all heard of. It's called NASA. And it has a new administrator come the new administration. His name is Isaacman. He presents himself as a man for all seasons. Who is he, Bob? What do we need to know about him?
Isaacman I've talked about him at length about how he's taking over. He's a jet pilot, a businessman who made $1 billion in the aerospace industry. He has flown twice in space on a Dragon capsule. He didn't go to ISS. He orbited independently, did a spacewalk with first private spacewalk. He's an actual businessman who knows what the problems are in this situation. And the story with him is that NASA has said that it's going to launch SLS and Orion with people on board in April of 26. And the president administrator, Bill Nelson, has said they've figured out all the issues and it's safe to go. Well, when that launch is supposed to happen in April of 26, Jared Isaacman will be the administrator of NASA. And so he's going to have to take on the responsibility of launching that. And as an actual astronaut and jet pilot, he is going to look at the problems that the Orion heat shield has and that Bill Nelson and NASA right now have poo-pooed to a certain extent. And I don't think it's going to be possible for Jared Isaacman, with his knowledge and his understanding of engineering and his actual experience in space, to approve this launch with people on board. So I think the heat shield problems of Orion are going to become the perfect justification for Isaacman to cancel SLS and Orion completely, because he's not going to be able, just because Bill Nelson now says it's okay to launch, doesn't mean that Jared Isaacman has to go along with that. Jared Isaacman knows more about the engineering by far than Bill Nelson, who's a former senator. And so I'm looking at the odds of increasing steadily that the new administrator is going to look very skeptically on the entire SLS Orion rocket capsule program.
And the Inspector General reports that you've featured over the years, are they part of the case as well, that SLS has grotesquely exceeded its budget and its time frame and its delivery?
Yeah, all these factors have been in existence for decades, but you got to remember, this is a boondoggle. Congressmen and senators It's a feature, not a bug, that the budget goes over and the money goes pours into their districts. That's a feature in their mind. They don't mind that. So it's never been a successful political argument for canceling SLS and Orion. But for a astronaut in charge of NASA to say, I can't fly people on this capsule because it's not safe, is a very different thing, and it's very difficult for congressmen and senators to argue with that kind of position.
Who's building?
So that's where I think this game's going to be played. And there's more factors involved. We'll be talking about that next week and in the future, John, about what to do next if you do cancel SLS and Orion. But I think that's where we're going.
Who's building Orion, Bob?
Orion was a Lockheed Martin contract. So Lockheed Martin built it, but it doesn't own it, and it's not building it for profit. It's building it for NASA's purposes only, and NASA owns it and decides what to do with it. Same thing with SLS. Even though Boeing's the prime contractor, multiple companies are involved, and NASA still owns it, and it's building it for only its purposes. There's no profit that can be made from it.
All right, two more big space agencies, the ESA and India, and they've come together to do what?
India is planning its first manned missions. They're called Gaganyaan. And so it's getting together its capsule and its rockets to do that. But India's smart. They have made a deal with the European Space Agency for that agency to provide the ground station's communication support for India's manned Gaganyaan mission. So this way, India doesn't have to build everything to make that mission happen. It's taking advantage of other facilities to make this possible. For example, it also signed a deal with Australia to work with Australia for splashdown capabilities. And that way they don't have to do it all. And so that's the same thing with the ESA. European Space Agency can provide the ground communications, tracking stations and antennas and communications for the Gaganyaan mission.
JAXA, that's the Japanese Space Agency. Do they have a Jonah on board, Bob? They always come up with problems for their boosters.
They do a horrible job of building rockets, which is why I've been arguing for now decades that governments shouldn't be building anything. They should buy it from the private sector. Well, Japan's trying to switch from the government model to the capitalism model, but they haven't really done a very good job of switching yet. And JAXA has been trying to build a new so-called lower-cost solid-fueled rocket called Epsilon S. But they've now admitted that because of a static fire engine test failure, that was an explosion in November, that the first launch of Epsilon S is going to be delayed. It will not happen next year as scheduled in the spring. They do not know when it will happen. And what I say is that JAXA should get out of the business of building rockets because they do a horrible job. They've had failures all across the board. They should start hiring private companies. Get Japanese companies in the business of building rockets, independent and owned by them and not by JAXA.
Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, says that it has a space program. It's launched Simorgh. What is that?
Simorgh is its rocket, which it claims it's developing for the purposes of launching satellites into orbit. And this was, I don't know, this is maybe the fifth launch of Simorgh. I'm not sure the exact count. But on this launch, they put the heaviest satellite they've yet done in orbit. It supposedly also carries, I've read in some sources, their first attempt to do an orbital tug, which essentially can be translated as the upper stage where the satellite attempts to do some maneuvers in orbit. They were also, that's what they meant by an orbital propulsion system, is which they've announced. It's a solid-fueled rocket, so it could be used for military purposes, John. I know, but what I gather is this is being used so far for the purposes of developing satellite technology, which includes reconnaissance and surveillance. So that they successfully did the launch, fourth this year.
I just mentioned that I've heard that the ballistic missile program is fundamental to the development of weapon systems, and that this is suspect as part of that program. I've heard that.
Yeah, any rocket launch can be assigned to a missile program, and often the lines blur between a rocket for satellite purposes and a missile for military purposes. The lines blur. This rocket, as I understand, is solid fueled. I could be wrong about that, but if it is solid fueled, it means it was developed out of the missile, ballistic missile program, but it's now been repurposed for putting satellites into orbit. You learn how to put satellites into orbit, you are essentially also learning how to build ICBMs, so there's really no distinction here, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.